Will the congregation please stand? I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my waking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God. I myself shall see, and my eyes behold him who is my friend and not a stranger. For none of us has life in himself, and none becomes his own master when he dies. For if we have life, we are alive in the Lord. And if we die in the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. Happy from now on are those who die in the Lord. So it is, says the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of your servant Mary and grant her an entrance into the land of light and joy in the fellowship of your saints through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming on this miserable, wet, cold afternoon. Thank you for sharing our grief occasioned by Mary's death and our joy because of her life. I understand that a eulogy should make you smile and cry. I hope this one does more of the former. For those of you who may not recognize me, despite my youthful appearance, I'm Mary's younger brother, older brother, John. Unlike Mark Antony in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, I've come to praise Mary, not to bury her. I met Mary before any of you, and I've known Mary longer than anyone has. I know I miss her as much as anyone can, and I know each of you misses her terribly. Growing up, Mary and I became the best of frenemies, the best of friends and allies to the rest of the world, unequivocally supporting one another, and competitive interfamily rivals. With Mary's death, the end of her lifelong mutual support is my great loss. Mary was so supportive of her daughter, her husband, her siblings, her son-in-law, and her nieces. Our family has lost the matriarch of our generation. Mary was the second born of five children. She was about 18 months younger than me, and without comment on our 20-something parents' proclivities, Mary was born exactly 2 years to the day before our younger brother, Joe. Martha and Jim came along respectively 5 and 9 years after Mary was born. Mary and Joe's shared birthday brought greater celebration for both of them and an occasional wish when they blew out the candles that next year, to instead of a shared sheet cake decorated half with ballerinas and half with toy soldiers, they'd at least celebrate with separate cakes. Like all of us, Mary was comprised of admirable and some unenviable traits. I know her admirable ones because they were dominant. I'm aware of her less than enviable ones because in some ways, I'm more like my sis than I care to admit. Mary's most admirable traits were her intellectual curiosity, accomplishment, determination, and generosity. As a child, Mary was inquisitive about everything. She wanted to know how things worked, so much so that our dad's colleague and friend, Dr. Frank Bauer Jr., nicknamed Mary Miss D.A., implying she asked more questions than the district attorney. That curiosity helped Mary excel in everything she did. As the big brother, I generally felt like I had the upper hand with Mary, at least until I didn't. I was about 7 and a half the first time I found out I didn't always have the upper hand. That was also when I first learned of one of Mary's lifelong traits. Mary was an accomplished person. Mom had decided that I should take piano lessons. The problem was, Mary had been taking lessons for over a year, and even if she hadn't, I was never going to be as musically talented as Mary. After 3 lessons, surprisingly, I could not play as well as Mary. Not to be outdone by my little sister, I simply stopped taking piano lessons. Assuring Mary's musical superiority over her brother for her entire life. Mary would later assert that she was more mathematically skilled. I'll now publicly admit she was, but only through high school. Mary was not only an accomplished pianist, she also took up the clarinet in high school. It was the gateway to summer band camp for Mary, where she met a number of lifelong friends, including Michael Rice. Mike truly became a fourth brother to Mary. She treated him as royally and despotically as she did Joe, Jim, and me. Mary was never content with her many accomplishments. Just 3 years ago, she began learning to play the harp. I teased her, asking if she was just trying to get ahead of the rest of us so that one more time at the pearly gates, she'd already know how to play the harp for eternity while the rest of us began the purgatory struggle of learning to. Looking at her piano and harp last night, I wept, knowing I will not hear her play them again. And I smiled through my tears, remembering the times I had. Few become as accomplished as Mary, and none do without an essential trait Mary had in spades. Mary was a determined person. Mary was so determined to be an accomplished student that, unlike any of her siblings, she always did her homework first and turned projects in before they were due. Those of you who worked with Mary know how determined and hardworking Mary was. She was accomplished and excelled in the male-dominated insurance sales business because of her determination to do all that her male colleagues did and more. Like Ginger Rogers, Mary did everything her male counterparts did, and also backwards and in heels. Mary was particularly grateful and proud of her team at Stevens, who were essential to her success. A first cousin to determination is one of those less enviable traits. Mary could be stubborn. She would occasionally stubbornly cling to an idea. Have you ever played that introduction game when each person tells the others four facts about themselves and everyone tries to guess which of the four is false? With Mary, sometimes I wasn't sure which of the four was true. Being in sales, Mary could embellish and massage the facts with the best of them. Joe and I rolled our eyes a few years ago when Mary stubbornly insisted that she was the first baby born at the new St. Vincent's Hospital. Trouble is, Mary was born on June 24, 1954, and the new St. Vincent's Hospital, well, it opened December 8, 1954. Mary had a terrific sense of humor. Rosemary reminded me Mary had a characteristic laugh. When something humorous overwhelmed her, Mary laughed so hard her eyes would water, she'd gasp and then snort out another laugh. She did not want to be the subject of a joke, practical or otherwise. I attribute that to Dad, or as Mary always called him, Daddy. I was never quite sure whether Mary or Martha was Dad's favorite. I was just as sure I wasn't his favorite as each of them was sure she was. I recall a particular instance Dad victimized Mary with his humor. When Mary was about 13, Dad came running into her room one morning, holding the skin on his neck between his thumb and index finger of each of his hands in two spots about 5 inches apart, gasping, "Help me, I swallowed my toothbrush." She fell for it for a moment or two and then blurted out, "Oh, Daddy." Mary's best trait is shared by all of our mother's children. We learn generosity from Mom. Mary was an exceptionally generous person. Everyone in this room is the beneficiary of Mary's generosity. Each of you can tell us of an instance where Mary's conduct define generosity. My senior year in high school, when I wanted to get a date with a girl at the Mount, Mary would generously undertake appropriate espionage, propaganda, and marketing to assure that the answer to my question, "Would you like to go out Saturday night?" would be yes. In our recent adult life, I had to outmaneuver Mary to pick up the check at any dinner. One time when Mary had done something over-the-top generous for me again, and I resisted it, she flashed me her wicked smile and said, "Accept it, John. It's not a kidney." Mary's generosity extended to deserving people she had never even met. Last year, when she learned that a very talented young dancer at the Shuffles Dance Studio here in Little Rock had been accepted to the summer program at the prestigious Alvin Ailey Dance Studio in New York City, but her family could not afford to send her, Mary paid for the young woman's program that summer. That talented young woman completed the program last year and will be returning this summer, thanks in part to Mary's generosity. Mary was generous with everyone, and she was most generous with those she loved the most, her daughter Rosemary, and her husband, Tom. Mary was a single mom almost all of Rosemary's childhood. Mary was determined to be an exceptional mom, and she was. Mary provided for her only child in every way, including most importantly by her example. Mary and Rosemary shared that very special bond mothers and daughters often do. Rosemary recently shared with me one of the perfect examples of Mary's parenting skills, love, humor, and evidencing their bond. When Rosemary was first in college, she did as many of us did. She found a way to authenticate that she was older than the DMV records indicated. At age 18, Rosemary acquired a driver's license evidencing that she was 21. Somehow, Rosemary lost that ID in the car one night. Rosemary looked high and low everywhere in that car. She dug under the seats and prayed to St. Anthony, all to no avail. The birthday card Mary gave Rosemary on her actual 21st birthday contained her best wishes for welcoming Rosemary to adulthood and her lost fake ID. The love of Mary's life was Tom Strammel. They didn't connect until they met at her 50th birthday party. By then, she and Joe no longer shared a birthday cake. And 7 months later, Mary and Tom married. They were complementary to each other. Mary was a day shy of being a year older than Tom. Tom's nature tempered Mary's a bit. You truly love someone when you learn to accept their imperfections and still continue to have their desires and dreams the same consideration as your own. Mary and Tom grew to truly love one another in the 20 years of their marriage. Mary did something special with Tom that she couldn't do with anyone else. Mary became vulnerable enough to allow Tom to take care of her. And Tom, you took care of Mary magnificently. We spend our lives becoming and being who we truly are. Mary was a caretaker. She took care of and mothered her family, her loved ones, her colleagues, her coworkers, her clients. Mary was a mother to us all. However, Mother Mary was determined to do things her way. Her way was always helpful, generally efficient and effective, but at some times she could come across like the commandant. I could see this trait in Mary because those of you who know me well know I reluctantly share this less than enviable trait with Mary. As a result, I know Mary's intent was always to help, even if occasionally her help felt like she was pushing you from behind instead of pulling you ahead, as was her intent. When a mutual friend of Mary's and mine died a number of years ago, Mary told me, "The longer we live, the more we must repeatedly endure this loss. I don't need to be the last one standing." With Mary's passing, there is a vacuum in our universe. The way Mary wants us to fill it is by emulating her generosity and her caretaking towards one another and everyone we encounter as she did. Please take the time and make that small, ever so appreciated effort that few do, and reach out daily to your friends and loved ones to let them know you care and are there for them. And help everyone you see and meet as Mary did. That will help fill up the vacuum and honor Mary the way she so richly deserves. Thank you for coming today, honoring my sister with your attendance on this rainy afternoon, and allowing me to honor her with my words, which you have so patiently listened to.
My name is Michael. I'm Mary's bandit friend from 1968. Okay? And I'm offering two selections this afternoon in honor of Mary. Mary was a gardener. She loved flowers. She loved gardening. And with her generosity, she left spiritual gardens of generosity all over the community of Little Rock. And as you listen to these two selections today, this is to honor Mary and her spiritual gardens that she left all of us. You Can't Rush Spring by Ann Hampton Calloway, and one of Mary's favorite instrumentals, Embrace for Beauty by George Gershwin.
A reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster, and their going from us to be their destruction. But they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy of himself. Those who trust in him will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are upon his holy ones, and he watches over his elect. The word of the Lord. Let us read the 23rd Psalm in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, and it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three things. And the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. It will come as no surprise to anyone in this room that when Mary joined Christ Church in 2022, she jumped right in, and she jumped all the way in. Almost immediately, she hosted a women's gathering at her house. She was elected to the vestry and agreed to chair the Advanced Gifts Committee of our capital campaign. Of course, she also insisted on feeding that committee an amazing salmon dinner at her house. Now, Tom was nice enough to give us the run of the place that night, and what I remember is an evening overflowing with her kindness and hosting skills that were second to none. I know that you all have similar stories of Mary. When I hosted a church event at my house, Mary asked what she could do to help, and she meant it. We settled on her bringing a veggie tray. She pulled up to my house half an hour early, popped the trunk, and proceeded to bring in what seemed like 100 platters of appetizers, including a veggie tray, with not one but three homemade dips, serving spoons, paper goods, a flower arrangement, and, of course, amazing sweet treats made by Rosemary. It was a lot, and it was wonderful. Mary spoiled us, not only with her hospitality, but also with her enthusiasm and joy and whatever the Spirit called her into. As we mourn for Mary today and celebrate her life, our faith assures us that she has found her way home to God. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Today, let us take Jesus at his word, that he has led Mary to the heavenly dwelling place prepared just for her. She has surely been enjoying reunions with long-lost loved ones at the heavenly table. Now, Scripture teaches that the table overflows all the time in heaven, but I bet it's overflowing a little bit more thanks to Mary, even if she was only supposed to bring the veggie tray. We trust that Jesus has led Mary home. We imagine great rejoicing on the part of the angels who welcomed her. And yet, in our grief, we may find ourselves feeling more like the disciples in the Gospel of John. There is confusion and heartbreak about a death that seems too soon, and we feel far away from the place prepared for Mary. We are like Thomas, who immediately after Jesus' reassuring words said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Since there is so much that we cannot understand on this side of heaven, Jesus opted for a simple answer, and it's one that we can hold on to. Just know him, and we'll find our way. It's a reassurance for all of us, especially on a day like this. But if you need further reassurance that we will find our way to heaven, look to Mary's life. She also showed us something of the way. Her earthly tables gave us a glimpse of the heavenly banquet. Her gardens were a foreshadowing of heaven's gardens. Her thoughtfulness was a sign of God's care for each of us. And her strong will mirrored the tenacity of God's love for us. Now, Mary would not have made these claims about herself, but I trust that you and I know more of the way to God, more about the gospel, thanks to how she lived her life. When news of Mary's death came, I can't tell you how many parishioners reminisced about a stewardship talk she gave here a little over a year ago. She told us about her time as a Girl Scout and how scouts are taught to leave the campground in better shape than when you found it. The church, she said, is our campground. We have been entrusted to take care of it and to leave it in better shape than when we found it, for the generations who will come after us. It's noteworthy that her hospitality extended out to the communion of saints. And then, in a kind of humble brag, she added that she'd been a very good Girl Scout. When camp was packed up and it was time to leave, she would go the extra mile. She'd get the broom and sweep the dirt, so that all of it went in the same direction. I think one could preach a whole sermon on that metaphor alone. But given how she lived her life, I trust that Mary is busy assisting our Lord with preparing heavenly dwelling places. She is getting the banquet table ready for her family and her friends and all those who will come after her. Whatever is blooming in heaven right now is her new favorite flower, and the arrangements will be spectacular. Having now left all of the places that God led her in this life in better shape than she found them, she has surely jumped right in heaven, and I trust that she has jumped all the way in. Amen. Will the congregation please stand for the Apostles' Creed. In the assurance of eternal life given at baptism, let us proclaim our faith and say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
For our sister Mary, let us pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am resurrection and I am life. Lord, you consoled Martha and Mary in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Mary, and dry the tears of those who weep. You wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend. Comfort us in our sorrow. You raised the dead to life. Give to our sister eternal life. You promised paradise to the thief who repented. Bring our sister to the joys of heaven. Our sister was washed in baptism and anointed with the Holy Spirit.
give her fellowship with all your saints. She was nourished with your body and blood. Grant her a place at the table in your heavenly kingdom. Comfort us in our sorrows at the death of our sister. Let our faith be our consolation and eternal life our hope. Father of all, we pray to you for Mary and for all those whom we love but see no longer. Grant to them eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. May her soul and the souls of all the departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. My name is Kate Alexander. I'm the rector here at Christ Church, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome all of you as we celebrate Mary today. I know that Mary knew everybody in Little Rock and was involved in many different circles, which leads me to assume that we are a very ecumenical crowd here today. And so I thought I would say a word about communion. When the time comes, the ushers will let you know when it is time to come forward for communion. You are welcome to do that. If you would prefer a blessing, please come on up and just cross your arms over your chest. We'd be glad to give you a blessing. You're welcome to receive bread only, wine only. It's a choose-your-own-adventure sort of situation at the rail. But I think the most important thing to say is that here at Christ Church, everyone is welcome and invited to receive Holy Communion. Let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. congregation please stand? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts us with the blessed hope of everlasting life. For to your faithful people, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when our mortal body lies in death, there is prepared for us a dwelling place eternal in the heavens. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your great love you have fed us with the spiritual food and drink of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and have given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be to us a comfort in affliction and a pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy with all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of mankind, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. For so did you ordain when you created me, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. To your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Mary. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company in the saints in light. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.